You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Perhaps we could have a word of prayer. And our Father in God, we look to you. We've opened thy love letter, thy word, Spirit of God. Help us in understanding that which only you can help us with, God, to enjoy and enter into, to experience truth. Thou art the truth. So deal with us, God. Here we are, very little, very limited, just us humans. Able to know and honor you because of the saving grace provided for us in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Help the children downstairs and the sick and the people away and God with all the flu and everything. God, we're looking to you. Here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study as we have proceeded, we have found that John, the last living apostle, is writing the last gospel at the turn of the century, just about. And in the process, he's helping us understand what the whole from history is about, human history, biblical history. It's all about your wonderful grace. And God, what you started, you're going to finish. And the Gospel of John, as you know, is all about God being wonderfully, wonderfully who he is. Always who he is. That's the Gospel of John's for. God, how are we going to ever know you? In and because of the person of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and in our study of the Gospel of John, we proceeded in the upper room just hours before his crucifixion, and we proceeded into chapter 14 and down to verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we shared each step so that we can get. What are you saying? And all of those words, way, truth, life, Father, they were all familiar with the Jewish person who was even lived in Jerusalem, lived in Palestine, went to the synagogue. They would have had all this. So they knew. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the Father. I'm standing in front of you, he said, and I am all of that which you could ever conceive or dream of. I am right here in front of you. Hang on to that. Now, back over, if I can, Isaiah chapter 45. In Isaiah chapter 45, you would recall, reminding ourselves, chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Verse 6. That, purpose, they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside thee, me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace and create evil or trouble, I allow it to exist. I, the Lord, do all these things. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. And remember, just think of stretching your hand out and using a human thing to help us understand. And here are over, by way of human estimate, by the astronomy and that, over 2 trillion galaxies. Not stars, galaxies. That's their estimate now. 2 trillion. That's more than you get paid. I did this. But 2 trillion plus. You'll never know the stars. You'll never be able to count them. I made it so you could never count them. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, I made them. I made man. Verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created, there's your little word, Barak, Genesis 1:1. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Sliding down in the wonderful section, but just for time's sake, to the end of verse 21, as it were, to the middle. Have not, 21, have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Verse 22, look unto me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. That's our Lord. He is exalted. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, that's all about our wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. God created us. God created us in a very special way. Now, God created the angels. That's true. The spirit beings. And they are awesomely able to reflect and serve and represent God. He is their creator. God created animals, birds, bugs, creeping things, butterflies, fish. God created them. And their awesome, their built-in instincts are able to reproduce, spider webs, flowers, butterflies fly from Canada all the way down to Mexico somewhere, whatever, a million of miles. They do it instinctively. No one gives them a map. No one gives them anything. They just know. Instinct. Wonderful, wonderful thing you've done for them, for angels. But you and I, us humans, are made very, very special. And God, and we're made in the image and likeness of God. Uh-huh. We're made for God to find himself in the heart. That is not true for animals. That is not true for angels. It's true for humans. God created humans in his image and likeness so that he would find himself reflected in and by their wonderful person. God says, I am, I will, I ought, morally. We are able to say, I am, I will, I ought. We are morally responsible. God, you made us wonderfully, wonderfully for yourself in a very wonderful way that you would find us humans vehicles that you personally could express yourself in. Not like animals, not like angels, made of the dust of the ground. God, that's what we're made for. That's what we're here for. Now, having said that, and thus the only explanation for us humans is God. And without God, we're below normal. We can't act normal. Animals can act normal. You'll never hear a giraffe swear. Do you understand? They're normal. We are not normal. We're below normal. We're sinners. We're sub below. God, what did you make us for? You made us for yourself. And without you, we're incomplete. We aren't finished. That's what it's all about. Now, having said that little bit and seeking to consider that, would you go back with me to just come forward again? Because what we just said is absolutely, absolutely in heaven above and earth below what it's all about. No matter how else you cut the cookie, no matter how you do it, that's what it's all about. Like it or not, whatever, that's God's plan, God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Now, in order to see it afresh and let it get a hold of us again and again and again. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, in the light of that, and on your way back, on before I do that, over if you would to Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah chapter 31. In order to go back, come forward, we need to go backwards. Jeremiah, if I can, chapter 31. And remember now the wonderful future for Israel. Israel, a nation to be God's nation. And in chapter 31, verse 33. This is all of God's wonderful program for Israel. But remember, the law was one thing, and they broke the law and broke the covenant. And God has made, God made a promise to Abraham, etc. Verse 33. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their heart, and be their God, and they shall be my people. That's what I'm going to do. It's internal. Israel's external. They look at the tabernacle, they look at the temple, they look at the Lord, and they're looking at the Lord in John chapter 13. They're looking at the Lord, but they don't see it. They don't make the connection. Therefore, chapter 32. Chapter 32. Verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their heart, and they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in the land, assuredly, with my whole heart, with my whole soul, God. You're going to do that. That's right. And that's the one place God says, he talks about you giving all your heart. He said, God said, listen, it's a fair thing. I ask all of you because I'm giving you all of me. That's why it's fair. I'm going to give you all that I am. All I want is all that you are. Now, Ezekiel, one other place. Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 36, picking up if I may. Chapter 36, picking up, in verse 23. And I will sanctify them, again, Ezekiel, Babylonian captivity. 36:23, and I will sanctify, set apart my great name, which was profaned, made common among the heathen, the nations, which you have profaned, made common, in the midst of them. In other words, you've made me look no different than the idols and the gods in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know. What are they going to know, the nations? That I am the Lord, saith the Lord God. When are they going to see this? When I shall be sanctified and set apart in you before their eyes. I'm going to be in you, and I'm going to show them me, God saying, I'm going to show them who I am in you. They want to know. Israel is God's nation to represent them. That's their awesome future coming up. When it doesn't look like it now, but it is their wonderful future. Now, having said that little bit, so therefore, the quality of life that is the only and right kind of life, the only explanation for such life, is God. So when you would look at a human that's with it, who are you going to see? God. And us little humans, because God is invisible and infinite. That means there's no place outside of God. Everything is inside of God. That's hard for us, because we're just humans. And to understand, He has no beginning and no end. And we try to take our little understanding and fit it, but we can't. We can't do it. God, how are we going to come to grips with you? That's why I made the angels. That's why I made you. That's why Christ is born in Bethlehem of Judea. Because you don't understand the wonderful thing I've done. I've made it so that I can be understood and exhibited, put on display in your little life, in my forever. And the angels, the good guys and the bad guys, are going to know and see. Wow, that's as we share together, that's what it's all about. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so the only explanation is God. Now, Israel, over if you would, Exodus. Exodus chapter 19, just for a second. And you'll remember Israel taken from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and everything. There they are at Mount Sinai. They don't have the law. All they have, all they are doing right now, they're down below at the foot, down in the area, valley kind of thing, on the Mount Sinai, Sinai range. And here they are, 2.5 million people or so, with all their animals and everything, down there. And God, a big fire, wow, on that mountain. And now God, not like in Egypt with idols. Nope, nope. We're in the middle now of where God has brought them out of Egypt to meet Him, to introduce Himself to Him, them. Now, here's what He's, and you remember, I'm just going to emphasize it for myself, chapter 19, verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you in eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be, verse 6, unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, all of it, what do you, here they are, and they are just coming, just a bunch of slaves have been set free to meet and God to introduce Himself to them, because it's His nation for His glory and His honor, based on promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's going to fulfill it ultimately in the future we just looked at in Jeremiah. Now, And therefore, verse 6, a peculiar treasure, very prized, privileged people, like precious people, they're mine, like no other people in all that I have, of all the people I've created, no one, that a nation, no one's like you. So Israel was to live on earth and be an example, to give expression to God, to all the nations. Under the law? No. They were to enjoy God's wonderful person and have a unique relationship to Him, like coming up in the millennium, like we just read in their heart, the law, everything. They would have been alive and well as a nation, a people, and all the world would have seen their wonderful person, seen God's wonderful person in their life. Wow. Now that's what it would have been. And that's what you meant, right? Because they're trying to bring a message to all the other nations. This is what God intends for all human beings, to have this wonderful relationship to their Creator. God created them for that purpose. Now, having said that, with all of that wonderment, now, they, like us, our human nature we're looking at, chapter 19 and verse 8, as you know, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do, and the Moses returned the word of the people unto the Lord. We'll do it. But you can't do it. God created you to house Him. You can't be the persons that God meant you to be. You can't be the nation God meant you to be without God. Hang on to that. Our time may disappear, but because of the snow, you're going to have to sit longer while it melts. Do you understand? The temperature's going to rise while we're in here, and it rises, and so when you leave, the snow will all be gone. Yeah. Well, I've eaten up time. Now, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, if you would, chapter 4. God gave the law. What did the law do? The law said, you need to be like, know God and have life. Well, how are we going to have life? You can't have life without God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't have life without me. How are you going to help them? I'm going to give them the law. This is the kind of life they need to live. A relationship to me, God, first four commandments. A relationship to people, the last six commandments. And here they are, and there they are. And you can do it. So let's say you do it. Let's say you have life without me. And the law is given to say, what's the grand conclusion? You can't have any life. We can't produce it. That's correct. That's what I'm trying to get across to you, he said. I want you to understand, you can't do it without me. Simple as that. Now, and therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, you're going to teach it to them, that's right. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them. To do them, not the wonderful to put them in your notebook and all of that, but to do them. Practice them. Put them to work. That, why are you going to put them to work? That you may live. What is life? Life is a behavior. You believe certain things. The things that you believe, how do we know that you believe them? By your behavior. Your behavior tells us what you believe. You can say whatever you want you believe. Your behavior is going to express what you really believe. And therefore, do these things. If you're doing them, you're going to behave. What do you do when you behave? You live. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. That you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Over, if you would, to chapter 5. Verse 1. And the Lord Moses called Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Do them. You need to do them. And in doing them, what are you going to discover? As you learn, verse 2, the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Oreb, Mount Sinai, and the Lord made not his covenant with our fathers. He didn't do that with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He didn't need to do that because they believed the promise. But you guys don't believe. Therefore, I got to help you. That's why you have the law. Now, therefore, in verse 3, the Lord made not that this covenant with your fathers, but with us, even us who are, all of us, here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. And God talked to them, and God dealt with them in a most wonderful personal way. Now, remember now, I know you know all these things, chapter 5, verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. So God wrote them. Who wrote on the stones? God did. And God wrote on the stones. And he spoke with a very great voice. That means that all the people listening, did you guys hear me? Yes, they did. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he lived. So God, are you able to speak, communicate? Absolutely. And I can write, and I can speak. And he speaks clearly. And 2.5+ million all heard him. God speaks. It's a personal God in a personal way. Hang on to that. Now, and so, in the light of that, and of course, they didn't want to hear anymore, remember, in verse 25, skipping. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear, not the fire, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. We don't want to hear, and they didn't. And sliding down, they aren't going to hear. They want Moses to go listen, and Moses come back, a mediator, and you tell us what God said, so that we can handle it better, because you're going to tell us and not God telling us straightway. Problem, verse 29. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But they didn't want to hear. And God knew they didn't want it. What was the problem? Not their hearing ears. It wasn't their ear, it was their heart. They had no heart for it. And therefore they didn't get it. They didn't catch it. It didn't click at all. Now, what? Chapter 6, Deuteronomy. In the great Shema, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, and thus, verse 5, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be, where? In your heart. And so therefore you can teach and communicate, because when they would see them, they would see God's word and God's love for them, their love for God. That's what they'd pick up. That's what they would learn. Where are we going to be exposed to God? You would be exposed to them by the saved, believing parents and people. Now, having said that, so God, they need a heart. They don't have a heart. What are they to do with their heart? To love God with all their heart, with all their soul. That's what they need to do. And God, you've given the commandments. You've given all the commandments to awaken the people, to consider, to think. True? All of those commandments are there. And in the process, they need to understand them and memorize them, know them. They're a standard for humans to be able to understand what? That they need to know God. God expects them to have a relationship to Him that makes the Ten Commandments reasonable, right, and very wonderful. Now, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and then honor your parents, and then you go through, and don't covet, and don't steal. Now, God, that's hard. No. He said, let me help you. The Ten Commandments, I want to translate them for you. Now, the first, remember Matthew, we'll go there. Matthew chapter 23, I think. Matthew chapter 23. It's right near 22. And you'll notice, please, remember the Ten Commandments, say, boy, thou shalt not. Uh-huh. Now, in the verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's what I want you to do. Now, so God, here's this four commandments, Sabbath day, and remember all the, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Here they are. Now, God, translate that for me so that I can handle it. I want you to trust me and know me with all your heart, and you will fulfill it. See? The law will live when you trust, when you love me. You're going to look to me and going to do a wonderful thing in my head and heart. That's correct. Now, God, what about the rest? What about the rest? Thou shalt not covet and all of these things. Wow, God, how are we going to do that? Well, I'm going to, chapter Matthew 22, verse 38, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second, only two, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law, all the law, and the prophets. Do you understand? When you love me with all your heart, and then you're going to go and understand all the other humans are made in my image and likeness to be able to, all of you in one great group are going to honor me. So when you look over here, you'll see the humans, but you see God. You look over here and see the humans, but you see God. You look up there, and you see God. That's right. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You're going to go. It's a simple thing. When I am in your heart, and you understand that's what I made you for, to be able to know me in a very personal way in order to enjoy me. And in the process, I am going to exhibit with vessels made of the dust of the ground, the lowest of all. I'm going to raise them up and show my wonderful person in grace, because it's all God's grace to do so to the world, to angels, to forever. That's what I'm going to do. Wow. And so therefore, thou shalt love thy neighbor and thou shalt love me. How are you going to do that? Because you're made for me. When I'm in your heart and you love me with all your heart, All of that's going to take place in a most wonderful way. Now, and in the law, while you're here thinking of the law, over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew in chapter 5. And you will note our Lord, Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, picking up, please, our Lord, helping them understand if you want me to be king, this is what it's going to be like. And chapter 5, Matthew, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, smallest little dot and line in the Hebrew language, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I have come to fulfill the law. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the law. I fulfill the law. I'm trying to help you understand, the Lord said to his disciple, the 11 in the upper room. I want you to understand. Wow. Do you understand? Not yet. They don't. Not yet. Nope. But they will. They certainly will. That's for sure. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, go with me, please, over in your Bible to Galatians. Now, just think of the Old Testament. We had a little reminder of how that works. And in the process, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He fulfills the law in a most wonderful way and makes it all happen. So now, here's our Lord and he, chapter 3. And remember now, the law, the wages of sin is death, John, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life. Chapter 3 of Galatians, God... you did something wonderful for us. That's right. I died. And now, and therefore, chapter 3, why did you have to die? Because the wages of sin is death. And you know, I know we're taking time, and no problem. Go, hold your finger right here. And go with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. So if you're talking to people that are trying to keep the law, there are different groups, Adventists and all different groups, trying to keep the law. We've got to earn our way. Merit, earn, keep, and we'll win. Like the law. But the law was never meant to be worked at. It was to awaken the heart, the need for a Savior. And therefore, Deuteronomy chapter 27. So when you're helping people, chapter 27, here's the list of here's the cursing and the blessing. When you come to the last one, Deuteronomy 27, and in verse 26, cursed be cursed, be he that confirmeth not all, the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. All of it. What part of the law can I miss? What part of the mountain? Here's the mountain. Here comes your aeroplane flying along. And here's Mount Everest, 29, halfway up into the atmosphere. 29,000. Here it is going along. Wow. Long and on. And you look down and see all the mountain range, and wow, you're way up. And you're way up. And the pilot, you try to say, you tell the pilot that the attendant hasn't been good to you, so bring the pilot back. And the pilot goes back And the plane just going along, and it's only going to miss Mount Everest by 1 foot. Do you want to be in the plane? It's not going to hit the middle, just 1 foot down. If you offend in one point, James, you're what? Guilty of all. What are you saying, God said? Cursed be the man that doesn't keep all of it. Now back over to Galatians. So people that say, I'm going to do this part of the law, but not that part of the law. You have to do all the law. You want to do it with your merit, your works, then be perfect. Period. Now, Galatians chapter 3. If I may, in verse 10, 3 and 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The plane crashes. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is works. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. Christ is crucified and pays the penalty, pays the price for our sin. That's what he does. The law cursed. Keep all of it. I can't. He did. He fulfilled, completed, honored every drop that God would want for rightness. And he provides a wonderful, wonderful rightness before our God and Savior. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, while you're here, for time's sake, I guess, over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1. Now remember now, as we're going, Galatians 1, picking up, if I may, in verse 12. Paul is giving his a testimony again. For I neither received it, the gospel, of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus. In other words, Jesus Christ is the one that communicated on the Damascus Road who he was and what Paul needed to do. And then Paul did it. Lord, remember Acts chapter 9? What must I do, Lord? That was his immediate response. He's on his way to hunt, kill Christians. Now, in verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to what? What did God look for? What are you looking for, God, in this Jewish Pharisee? What are you looking for in us? To reveal his Son. And the little words, I-N-M-E. To reveal his Son in me. Why? That I may preach him. How can you preach him if he isn't in you? You can't. That's why our Lord said to some of them when he healed them, he said, don't say anything, because you can't back it up. You have no evidence. There's no evidence. I need to be there. I'm the one that did it, he said. So just wait till I go to the cross and you get saved. Really saved. Now, therefore, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, sliding over, when you go from chapter 16, verse 1, to reveal his Son in me, what did people, when they saw Paul, now saved, receive Christ as his Savior, God, what did you do for this man that you intend to do? For humans, in the first place. Verse 24, And they glorified, not Paul, they glorified God in me. That's what they did. It wasn't about you, Paul. You're the killer, the hunter. No. They saw God in me. That's what it's all about. They saw God. What's it about? God, there's no explanation for your life except God. The only explanation, the only way to explain anything is you. You know God as your Savior. That's why Paul, over where you're here in Galatians chapter 4. And you know, picking up if I may, in verse 19, 4 and 19. What are you going to say, Paul, in your ministry? What's your whole function? What is God doing with you? My little children, of whom I travail with great, it's present tense, I'm travailing like in birth pangs. I travail again and again. What are you looking for? Until Christ be formed in you. In you. Well, we're believers. Then let's find God in you. Where's God? That's what it's about. Show me God. You remember, you know all those things, when they go in to show me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul say it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What kind of life do you have? Christ, who is our life. It's a relationship. It's personal. First Corinthians chapter 14. We didn't get very far, but I hope at least something. 1 Corinthians 14. May I pick up, please? Remember the context. Verse 23. If therefore the whole church assembly come together in one place, in local assembly, and all speak with languages, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers. In other words, they don't know and they aren't saved. Will they not say, you're cuckoo, you're mad. You're mad. You people are mad, rolling down the aisle and everything. What's wrong with you? Wow. That's what they're going to say. That's what they do say. Now, 24. But if all prophesy God's word, and there come in one that believeth not, unsaved, or unlearned, doesn't know, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, clear, public, plain, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God. This is the guy visiting. And report to people at work, at school. Well, I went, wow, what did you find? Did you find a big musical affair? What did you find there? God. That's what I found. God. Thus, and report that God is, wow, in you for real, of a truth. That's what it's about, yeah. That God really is in you. And that's what it's all about in the first place. Now, people go in and out. We don't, it isn't God. No wonder we don't. The world, your old nature and mine don't want this, and the world doesn't want it. Who wants? Because it changes our life. It influences our life in a very dynamic way so that we don't have. And I can't even get to an awesome subject. I'm going to do it. Do you understand? You're trying to read your Bible. The reason, and the electronic world isn't helping, because I don't have to deal with anybody. I have an immense opportunity that never existed to be global, to push buttons and relate to the whole world. And in relating to the whole world, I'm real safe because I'm sitting in my rocking chair. And no one can see me. I can eat some more potato chips. I can do what I am doing. I can even drastically, people do drastic things and put themselves on Facebook and stuff because they aren't here. And therefore, I'm free because I'm not connected. But if I were to change, and what you're looking at on Facebook or anything, whatever, electronic world, or anything else, do you know what it is? You can talk about the you can talk about the Supreme Court, and you can say all the things you want about the Supreme Court of the United States. But do you know what? And you could read a book about the Supreme Court. And aren't you comfortable? Can't you do it comfortably? Absolutely. It's when what? That I stick all 12 justices in front of you. And you read the book. And the words of the book are talking about the people standing right in front of you, and all of a sudden the whole thing has changed because it's real and personal. That's what's missing in people reading and preaching and doing everything. We don't have a personal God. We're able to do it, read the Bible, have our daily bread, and do whatever we want, and we don't have to face God. But in the presence of God, you can't do that. We aren't God conscious, not you guys. We just aren't God conscious country, world. And that's why all of it gets away with whatever, because you couldn't do it. You wouldn't say it with the Supreme Court standing there looking at them and say, anyway, you use all kinds of illustrations. I got to quit. I wish I could help you. Do you understand? It's what life is. And we don't have it. I'm telling you, all you got to do is turn on the system up here and pay attention to where people are and listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to them pray. Listen to them. Is there a connection? No. That's why it's so easy to do church and everything, because we don't have to conform, which is life, in the presence of God. And you can't do it anymore, you know. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for just your patience with me. And God, it's an awesome, wonderful thing. God, we just need to grab hold of it, God, because that's why nothing's going. And we're all, not us, God, we're part of the problem anyway. What's the sense? So you got to deal with us and help us, God, that's all. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for holding our right hand, as it were. Thank you for hugging us, God. God, we're in your presence. Oh, Spirit of God, you got to help us in all this. Our Lord, you said it as you stood before the 11. And here you are, we're standing, we're seated in your presence. God, thank you. Thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen.